here on a Wednesday night. You could have chose a lot of different things on a Wednesday night to do, but you chose to be here. You chose to maybe get to hear from the Lord. Praise the Lord for His Word. Amen. Amen. We had a lot of prayer requests, and that's great. That's awesome. Why is it so great and awesome? Because the Lord actually hears us. Church, let's think about this for a moment. It's not even related to the message, but think about it for a moment. That all the things that you just said, God heard. That's unbelievable. We sit there with our sin and our misery and our filth and all those different things that we struggle with every day, the temptations that we struggle with, but yet God listens to us. And He cares about us, and He answers us. Amen, church? Amen. He is so wonderful and so great to us. It is so amazing to me to serve the Almighty God and how good that He is to us. Sometimes I think we take that for granted, how good God actually is to us. What we sing in that song, or what Ashley sang in that special, is Jesus has come to give life and hope to all mankind. That's a beautiful promise, church. That Jesus came as a little baby, away in a manger. Came as a little baby for you and I. Humbled Himself. Came down from heaven for you and I. And took it to the cross for you and I. To give us life and hope. Hope everlasting. A hope in heaven. If you're a believer in Christ, that is your hope. Your living hope. Your amazing hope. Praise the Lord for His Word this evening. Psalms 119, starting in verse 33, it says, "Teach me, Lord, the ways of your decrees, that I may follow to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your command, so that I will find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill the promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts in your righteousness. Preserve my life." God's word is so good. It is so precious. It is worth more than gold and silver. You could have all the treasure in this life, all the treasure in this world, but there's nothing more valuable than the word of God. Take those worthless things and throw them aside and cling to the one thing that is actually worthy. It is God. "Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word." That is such an amazing thing. Praise the Lord for the word of God. Let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you this evening to come into this place and touch our hearts. Lord, we're all struggling with different things in our life, but Lord, I ask you to cast those aside. And may we only look to you. May we fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we thank you for how good that you are. Lord, help us understand this message this evening. Help us understand the changes that we need to make to draw closer to you. Lord, you want us to draw closer to you. Help us this evening. Teach us this evening. Lord, thank you for being the God of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you, church, what do you treasure in your life? What do you treasure most in your life? Is it your house? Is it your family? Is it your kids? Is it your job? Is it your career? Whatever you spend the most amount of your time in is probably what you treasure most, right? What you spend the most amount of your time in is probably what you treasure the most. So I'll ask you, there's many Christians today that are storing up their treasures on earth. They're trusting in their job. They're trusting in money. They're trusting in material things. They're trusting sometimes too much, even in their own families, thinking that that's the one thing that's going to save their life. They're trusting in all the wrong things, and they wonder and they ask. Many people ask, "Why do I feel so empty in life?" Think about that for a moment. Maybe you've been there. I think a lot of us have been there in moments. Why do I feel so empty? Why am I so unhappy? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so filled with anxiety in my life? Maybe, it's going to be a repetitive message, church. Maybe we're focused on the wrong things of life. Maybe we've been storing up our treasures on earth rather than in heaven. That's where we're going this evening. So let me ask you, church, what are you focused on in your life? What do you care most about in your life? What do you cling to in life? What are you passionate about? Are they the things of God, or are they things of the world? Are they the things of this earth? We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 this evening. Let me give you just a little bit of context. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. If you want an overwhelming amount of teachings from Jesus, read chapter 5, 6, and 7. There's a lot of teachings. Jesus covers almost, it seems like, just about every aspect of life that you can think of in just chapters 5, 6, and 7. I can promise you, you'll read those three chapters and you'll ask, I didn't get all that. You'll have to read it over and over and over again. Pastors spend years just on one section in chapters 5, 6, and 7. There's so much in chapter 6. Chapter 6 is filled with some amazing things. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about fasting. He talks about prayer. He talks about worry in your life. He talks about all these things, and he also talks about self-righteousness. Many of the Pharisees that were there and are hearing him say these things, and he's talking about when you pray, don't be all out loud and wanting people to see you. And same thing with giving to the needy. Don't sit there and like hold up, oh, this is how much I'm going to give to this person, and all those different types of things. He covers a lot of self-righteous things, and the same thing with fasting as well. You ain't got to tell everybody that you're fasting. Sometimes you got to do that stuff in private with just you and the Lord. You don't need the attention or the acceptance from others. Right? Amen, church? Amen. We just need it from God. That's all we want, who we want to please, right? Is God. We don't need to please man. We need to please God. He talks about all those different things, but what we're going to talk about is money. No one likes to talk about money. Chapter 6, verse 19. Starting in verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God in money. In verse 19 he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. What is Jesus saying here? He says, stop storing up things on this earth. They'll waste away. They'll be no more. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. We see that so many times. Many of you probably have searched your closets and, man, I didn't realize I had that shirt. I didn't realize I had that pair of pants. Man, that's way out of style now. Man, I have that thing on the hanger for so long. It's got hanger marks on it, whatever that looks like. Maybe some of you, we have two storage rooms here at the church filled. If there's one thing we struggle with most in this church, it might be storage. We have so much storage in this church because we have stuff for the ministries, we have stuff for the church, all those different things, and we're running out of storage space. That's one reason why we might get that one up and running so we can move some of the storage over there. It's getting too filled up, but there's times I look through the storage and I'm like, I'll go buy something. Like, oh, we need this. And then a month later, I'll look down and like, oh, wait, we already had that. We already had that in the storage room because I couldn't find it. Sometimes we have too much stuff, too many things. I can't believe that there's so many storage units being built. We just have a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. What does Jesus say here? All this stuff on earth will rot away. There'll be no more. Be gone. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Let me tell you, nothing on this earth is permanent. It's temporary. There are good things in this world, good things to have. Again, it's not a message on don't save money, none of that. It's not what I'm preaching about today. But I can promise you something. It's said many times. You're not taking a U-Haul with you to the grave. Even if you're buried with all your possessions, can I tell you, they're not coming with you in eternity. They're not going to follow you. to the things of this world. They're gone. When you die, they're gone. They're here today and gone tomorrow. That's so important for us to understand. Jesus teaches this parable in Luke chapter 12. It's very powerful. A brother comes up and says, "What am I supposed to do with this inheritance? How do I divide it with my brother?" And Jesus says, "I'm not the judge of that. You figure that out." But then he tells him this parable. There's a rich fool who builds these barns, has all this surplus of all this grain that he can possibly have. And he builds these, he's like, "I got to tear these small barns down and I got to build bigger ones." And he builds these awesome barns and he says, "You know, now I can just relax. Now I can be merry. Now I can eat. Now I can drink and I can just sit back." And then God comes in and he says, "You fool, don't you know your life will be demanded of you tonight?" And he dies. And I tell you that we can store up so many things, have a huge business, a huge company, whatever that looks like for each and every one of them, a huge saving account. But can I tell you, just tomorrow you can be gone. It's not yours anymore. You're gone. It's gone. And let me tell you, church, that when we store up treasures here on earth, we are doomed to have a miserable life. I've never met anyone who decides to store their treasure here on earth, have a good life. It seems good, but many times they're sitting on their deathbed, "Wow, I wish I would have done things more important in my life." Maybe life wasn't all about getting the money. Maybe it wasn't all about getting the cars, the houses, or whatever. There was a survey done a while back ago, and they asked, what would it take for you to have the American dream in your life? And no matter what they made, whether they made $25,000 a year or $100,000 a year, most of them doubled whatever they had. They needed more to have the American dream. Double the amount. If I had $25,000, if I had $50,000, that would be the American dream. If I had $100,000, if I had $200,000, that would be the American dream. What does that tell us? That you're never going to be satisfied with the things of this world. You'll never be satisfied with these things because they're not permanent. They waste away and they don't give you anything. They make us empty many times when we focus on these treasures of this earth. We're doomed to have empty lives when we store up treasures on this earth. Doomed to have empty lives. What are you focused on, church? I hope this is a reflective message. What are you really focused on? This isn't something to be taken lightly. I pray that everyone here grows closer with God. But the one thing that many times for believers stops us is we're focused too much on the world. And we wonder to ourselves, why can't I be happy in my life? Why can't I ever be satisfied in my life? I can never be content with what God's given me. Maybe it's because we're focused on the wrong things. Many people are focused on their money, their career, their fame, power, whatever that looks like. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So why shouldn't we store up treasures on this earth? Number one, it takes our eyes off the Lord. When you focus on treasures on this side of heaven, when you cling to money and fame and power and whatever that may look like for you, you're not focused on God. You take your eyes off of the Lord. And number two, they lead us to miserable life. Why shouldn't you store treasures on this earth? Because they lead to a miserable life, discontentment, unsatisfied, unhappy, empty. And number three, the most important, they hurt our relationship with God. You can't draw closer to God if you're still clinging to the things of this world. Did I not just read you can't serve two masters? Did Jesus not just tell us that you can't serve two masters? Or does he not say, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be? You can't have both. You can't have the world and you can't have God all in the same thing. It doesn't work like that. It hurts our relationship with God and we can't draw closer to him. I pray that that's what you want this evening, is to draw closer with God, to become a better believer, to look more like Christ. I hope that's what you want. But if you keep focusing on your house, the money you have, the power, if I just wish I had this or I wish I had that, then I have a better life. Trust me, not going to happen. If that's the way you're thinking right now, I will tell you, you'll be unsatisfied for the rest of your life. until you focus on the things of heaven. In verse 20 it says, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen to me, church, is this not amazing that the treasures of heaven last forever? The things that God gives last forever. This is an amazing thing to me. It doesn't make sense that God would give us these treasures that last forever and that we can actually please the Lord with the things that we do, the things that we store up in heaven. This is an amazing thing that no thief can come in and take it from you. No moth is going to destroy it. No rat's going to destroy it. Whatever that looks like, it can't be taken away. When you store up treasures in heaven, it can't be taken away. It can't be stolen. This is an amazing thing. Well, what does it look like to fix our eyes onto heaven? What does it look like to put our treasures in God and our treasures in heaven? It looks like when we fix our eyes on the Son of God, when we look to Christ for answers in our life, when we ask Jesus, what do you want me to do in my life? And most importantly, it's obedience. It's living in obedience to the Father's will of your life. God, what do you want me to do? How do you please God? Ask Him, what do you want me to do? How do you store up treasures in heaven? Lord, what do you want me to do? It's not as hard as what we make it to be. Be obedient. Can I tell you that God never wants anything bad to happen to you? God cares for you. He loves you. Does He sometimes allow bad things to happen to teach us, to help us grow? Of course He does. And praise the Lord, He does it. But He cares for us and He loves us and He's not going to lead us astray. Praise the Lord, He won't lead us astray. So trusting in Him, being obedient to Him is the best decision that you can ever make in life. It's the best decision you can possibly make in this life. So amazing. So amazing. It's so amazing that when you store up treasures in heaven, you'll never be unsatisfied. You'll never be empty. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, He leaves us filled and full in life. Think about that for just a moment. That the Savior, Jesus Christ, gives us everything we need. Everything we ever possibly can need. Matthew 6 33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we seek God and seek the treasures in heaven, to store up our treasures in heaven, He takes care of us. Not only does God save us, but He takes care of us. You don't have anything to worry about in life because God takes care of us. Amen, church? Amen. Has God not done a good job at taking care of you? Amen. He's done an excellent job, way better than I could take care of myself. An amazing job. So why should we put our treasures in heaven? Number one, they last forever. They don't go away. They're forever. When you get there, they're there. And they lead us to a purpose-filled life. One thing that we say in our mission statement for the ministry is to help people get a purpose-filled life. How do you do that? It's only done through Christ. If you want a purpose-filled life, you feel like you have no purpose in your life, come to the one that gives purpose. It's Christ. Why are we trying to get purpose from this world? Why are we trying to get purpose from an empty world? A world that doesn't know their right or their left. How can a world like that ever give you purpose? It can't. But the one who's given life, the giver of life, the one who sustains life, who's created life, can give a purpose-filled life, actually have meaning in your life. For once, some of us have been there where you feel like you have no meaning in life. But God gives meaning and purpose in life. And number three, maybe the most important, is why should you store up treasures in heaven? Because it pleases the Lord. It brings a smile to God's face when you store up treasures in His home with Him rather than trusting in the world. It's so important. And then verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also. What is Jesus saying here? To put it as simple as I can, Jesus is saying, You can't be passionate about the world and think that your heart is with God. You can't have the world and you can't have God. Whatever you desire in this life, whatever you're passionate about, if it's the worldly things, that's where your heart is. Your heart is in the world. You can't be separate. You can't desire the world and desire God. So let me ask you, what are you passionate about, church? What are you passionate really about? I want us to put it in perspective. This is kind of how I think about it. Maybe not the best way to think about it. But most of us binge watch shows from time to time, right? There's shows that me and my wife just got done binge watching, some reality TV show that it was like a game show. Watched it in a couple days. We do that stuff. This might sound weird, but stay with me. Why don't we binge the things of God? Why does this Bible stay on our shelves when we sit on the couch and watch TV? Why does it sit on the shelves when we go do the things of the world that we love? It's a good thing sometimes. I'm not saying the things you love in this world are all bad, but when you put your hope and your trust in those things, they'll fail you. They won't satisfy you. Why do we not hunger after God? Why are we not passionate about worship? Why are we not passionate about coming to church? But yet we're, man, my new show came out. So-and-so won the football game. Why can't we never get excited, church, about the things of God? Maybe it's we got our focus on the wrong things. Maybe we have our focus on the world rather than God. Now, that might be difficult to hear, church, but there's many Christians right there thinking they can have a little bit of the world and a little bit of God. It doesn't work that way. Either you give your whole life to Christ or you give none of it. There's no giving a little bit. Jesus says, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Wow, what an amazing thing. What are you passionate about? I want to look at this story for just a moment. It's an amazing story. Many of us know it. It's the rich young ruler. I was surprised when I was studying this that there's a lot on this one little subject. The rich young ruler comes and he asks, what's the thing I need for eternal life? What good thing do I got to do to get eternal life? And Jesus says, well, who is good? And then he says, well, keep the commandments. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't steal. All that, the Ten Commandments. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler, he says, I've done all those things. And Jesus comes up to him, well, if you want to be perfect, sell all your things and come follow me. Sell all your things and come follow me. I want to read this one thing, what it says about this man. It says in verse 22, it says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus Christ is sitting in front of this rich young ruler. And apparently this rich young ruler, he's done what he's supposed to do. He kept the commandments, but he was lacking one thing. Because he cared more about his possessions than he did about the Son of God. Church, there's many Christians like that today. Maybe you're like that. You care more about your house than you do the Son of God. You care more about your job than you do the Son of God. How do you know if you care about those things more? How do you know if you care about your job more than Christ? How do you know if you care about your family more than Christ? How do you know if you care about your house or any of those things more than God? What's your priorities? Where does God come into the picture? If he's not above those things, there's an issue. Amen, church? Can we all agree tonight that if God is not up here, then there's an issue going on? But yet we don't fix it. We don't fix it. We go around in circle, right? We've all been there. And there's no need to think that there's one righteous person in here, because there's not. We go around in circle. Got my eyes fixated on Christ. Devil put something right here. Oh, wow, that's kind of neat. Oh, wait, I better get fixated back on God. Been straying too far away. Go back to the same. Can I tell you, it doesn't have to be like that. We don't have to keep going through this cycle over and over again about trusting in worldly things rather than God. This is what Jesus is saying here when he's saying, when he's telling us that that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. What you care most about, that's where your heart's going to be. Even on the bad things, even on those things that aren't worth anything. And we see this rich young ruler, and this is maybe too blunt to say, maybe. But sometimes, church, we're trying to gain the whole world and forfeiting our own soul. Some of you aren't saved, I know it. You don't have a relationship with Christ. You're trying to gain this whole world, trying to fix your life, trying to do whatever you have to do, yet forfeiting your own soul. This is exactly what the rich young ruler did. It's not said whether he came to Christ. We don't know. All we know is what it says. He heard what the things that Jesus said, and he went away sad. Why? Because he couldn't give it up. Christians can't give up their worldly life when the giver of life has given them life. Maybe that's you. Can I tell you, today you can fix it. Today you can repent and come to Christ, and he's so willing to take us. He's so willing to take our life, to bring us back. This is an amazing thing. And this, in verse 22, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is Jesus saying here? If you don't got 20/20 vision, sorry about your luck. You're bad. No, that's not what he's saying. If that's what he's saying, then I'm sorry, I'm headed down not a great road. I already have only one eye. And my wife will tell you I'm basically blind. So I can't even read the clock there very well. I probably shouldn't be saying it because you're all going to tell me to wear my glasses. But what's he saying? What is Jesus saying here? He says our eyes are important. Very important. There are a lot of times the key to all those different things. Jesus is teaching here that good eyes, spiritual eyes lead to light, lead to Christ. But unhealthy eyes and bad eyes lead to corrupted lives, darkness. When we're focused on the wrong things, it leads to a corrupted life, a sinful life. A life of misery, a life of pain, a life of suffering. But when our eyes are fixated on the light of Jesus Christ, when we are allowing that light to come into our life, it is such an amazing thing that he gives us life abundantly. Amazing, amazing thing that Jesus Christ does. If we want to be in the light, our eyes are the key. There's also a physical thing to all this. If you think you can watch bad things, you think you can use your eyes to see evil things and corrupted things and think that you're not going to be corrupted, think again. Many people fall because of their eyes. Many people fall to sin and temptation because of their eyes. They're not willing to look away. Men, do you hear me? Use your eyes too much and not looking at the things of light. You'll find yourself in darkness. Amen? Amen. I hope we all realize that this evening. Eyes are so important. So important. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen, church? Amen. Can we all agree in the house today that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith? And if you're unhappy, and if you're depressed in your life, and if you're unsatisfied, and if you're empty, maybe it's because you're focused not on the author and perfecter of your faith. Maybe you're not focused on the right things in your life. And what do we need to do, church? What do we need to do? In 2 Corinthians 4:18 it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Even the good things that we see that is seen and all those different things. But if we focus on the things that are unseen, the eternal things, the things that last forever, those are the things in us that produces perseverance and endurance to make it through the evilness of this world. But if we don't, don't expect yourself to be satisfied. Don't expect yourself to have a good life if you choose not to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because there's believers today choosing not to do it. That's a choice. It's a choice, church. And in verse 24, kind of difficult at times to think about, but just listen to it closely. Verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Church, you can try and try and try, but you'll fall short every time. You'll fall short every time if you try to love this world. You'll find yourself not loving God. You might think you love the world, the things of the world, and you love God, but you don't. You'll choose the world. But you have a choice to choose. In James 4:4, it's a hard verse, but listen to it closely. "Therefore, if anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Those who choose the world become an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? If you're a believer in Christ, let me rest assured that you understand that God jealously longs for you. Why? Because he's given you his spirit. His Holy Spirit. You're his. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're his. And he says, you're not of this world anymore. You're not of this world anymore. You're mine. And church, there's no one better to be in the hands of than the hands of God. There's no one better to have you than God himself. The protector, security, all those different things. He's so powerful and loving all at the same time. You're a child of God. That's why he jealously longs for you. I know that many of you who have children sometimes jealously long to have your kids back in your arms. Maybe they're a wayward. Maybe they're a prodigal. Maybe they're not living right. In your heart, you want them back so bad. Can I tell you that when we run from God, God wants us back so bad. And sometimes he's willing to do whatever it takes to get us back. And praise the Lord that he's willing to do whatever it takes to bring us back. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. So there's a story. Like I said, this whole thing is filled. The Bible is filled with just these things. There's a story in Joshua at the end of the book. The people are serving false gods, the gods of the Amorites. Many of you know this story. And he goes up to the people and he tells the people, choose this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the God of the Amorites? Or are you going to serve the living God? Are you going to serve false gods? Or are you going to serve the God? Are you going to serve the world? Or are you going to serve the Heavenly Father? He gave the people a choice. And this is what he says. But for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you guys are going to do. I don't know what you guys care about. But we're going to serve the Lord. We care about the Lord. And let me tell you, this is what all this comes up to this point right here. What are you going to choose? It's your choice whether to choose worldly things or godly things. It's your choice whether to see godly things or worldly things. And it's your choice who you're going to serve. You're not going to do both. You have to choose this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the world in its temporary things? Or are you going to serve God in his eternal things? See, church, there's many believers caught up in the things of the world. Caught up in the things of the world. Maybe you're there. Can I tell you, it's time to let go. It's time to let go of those treasures of the earth and cling to the treasures of heaven. It's time to let go of those things that you shouldn't be even looking at. Those things that are bad for you. Stop looking at them. It's time to let them go. And focus on the author and perfecter of our faith. Focus on Christ in our life. Focus on the giver of life. The giver of life who's given you life. So let me ask you, church, where's your treasure? Let's stay in church. Church, you have an